It's well established that people have lived in the St. Louis area for a really long time. After all, mounds belonging to Native North Americans once existed near the Missouri side of the Interstate 70 bridge, in Forest Park, and in South St. Louis, Sugarloaf Mound still stands. Plus, just across the river in Illinois, archaeologists believe that the Cahokia Mounds was the largest city north of Mexico 900 years ago. But archaeologists working in downtown St. Louis have found something unique in the footprint of what was the original city of St. Louis as it was designed in 1764. That's more than a decade before U.S. independence and nearly 40 years prior to when the country acquired this area in the Louisiana Purchase of 1803. Archaeologists with the Missouri Department of Transportation have uncovered evidence that suggests there may have been French or American Indian settlements in St. Louis in the years immediately preceding 1764. That's when Pierre Laclede and his stepson Auguste Choteau established a permanent trading post along the west bank of the Mississippi River and called it St. Louis. Producer Alex Hoyer recently went to the dig site that's just south of the Gateway Arch grounds. He spoke with Michael Meyer, who is a senior historic archaeologist.
The area that we're looking at is part of the original settlement of St. Louis as it was platted back in 1764. And actually, the first house that was built out here by Pierre Bourgeois was built around 1766 or 1767, very soon after the first settlers came here.
What do you know about Pierre Bourgeois?
Not a whole lot. He doesn't appear in a lot of records, either in Missouri or in Illinois. What we do know is that he first appears in historical documents around 1766, building somebody else's house. And we think that he builds his own house right about that same time. We also know that at some point he participates in the fur trade, and he actually signs a contract, a very ambitious contract, and guarantees to come back to St. Louis with a whole plethora of furs, which he fails to honor. And unfortunately, this puts him in debt, and eventually he loses his property, his real estate, and most of his personal property because of that debt.
That sounds like a story that could be told today, actually.
It's very similar to what would happen today. And it's kind of interesting to peek into the lives of people, 250 years ago and realize, not so different from people today.
Now, when we think of construction of homes back then, we've talked before about French colonial homes in that they were known for their style of construction with the vertical log posts, the kinds of structures that you can still see today down in St. Genevieve, Missouri. Is that the style in which this house was constructed?
Absolutely. In fact, the features that we've seen out here that indicate this type of French vertical post and earth construction are far more visible and identifiable on this site than we have on any other site that we've excavated out here. It's almost archetypical French construction.
You mentioned that there was a blacksmith that lived here at one point. I imagine that influences certainly the kinds of artifacts that you may find.
Yes, typically when we excavate sites like this, we find a lot of rusted metal and things like that, and we don't necessarily attach very much importance to those types of artifacts because they're unidentifiable. However, now that we've found what we believe is a blacksmith, all these miscellaneous iron artifacts that we normally discard suddenly have meaning. So now we're collecting all these things that we normally would pass over. And a lot of these are very solid artifacts, and we think that after a little bit of conservation, a little bit of lab work on them, we can actually identify either the raw material or actually the final product that was being produced out here in the 1780s.
And I know we're going to look at some of those artifacts in just a moment. Now, I think when most people think of MoDOT, they're not thinking of an archaeologist. They're thinking of maybe the workers that inspect the bridge or that clear snow and ice during the winter. So can you talk about the reason why MoDOT has some archaeologists and why you're working on this site.
Well, that takes a little bit of explaining. It takes a little bit of understanding of the history of the 20th century, really. And it really goes back to the 1950s, understanding that coming out of World War II, there was a strong drive in the United States for modernization. Newer meant better. And so there was this push, such as the interstate construction, to replace the old and build new things. And there was such a strong and quick push to do this that construction was done before people realized what was being removed. And soon after this started, you know, in the late 50s, early 60s, people realized that, yes, we now have brand new highways and we have new subway stations and things like this, but we really miss that park and we really miss that cathedral and we really miss that old Union Station. And so going into the late 1960s, there was passed a series of laws, including the National Historic Preservation Act, that told the federal government to say, slow down, wait, take a second look at what you're doing, and make sure that it is the best decision. So the law that we're following here, the Historic Preservation Act, doesn't say we have to preserve things. What it does say is we have to make sure that what we're destroying or potentially destroying, no one really wants preserved. And so what MoDOT does is we have a staff of historians, historic architects, and archaeologists that go out before construction and make sure that there's nothing that MoDOT could destroy that people truly care about. And so on this project, we find remains of not only the mid and early 19th century houses, but also the first village of St. Louis. And we determined that, well, this is something that people care about. This is something that it's worth MoDOT spending a little bit of money and time to do something about. And in this case, it would be excavation. So that's sort of the basis of why MoDOT has archaeologists on staff.
When we spoke 3 years ago, you said in your 20-year-plus career that the work that you were doing here in St. Louis was the most significant of your career. And I'm wondering, 3 years later, what your answer to that question is now.
Yes. I think every time I come out here, since we talked first, everything has been even more important and significant than the last time. Our latest work over this spring far outstrips what we saw, say, last fall. And the work we did last fall was far more important than the work we did when you first came out here.
So what are you finding?
Well, this year, for the first time, we have large deposits, stratified deposits, full of artifacts where we really haven't seen that type of feature, that type of trash dump anywhere else. So we're finding not only a large quantity of material from two different time periods, but a variety that we haven't seen anywhere else in the past 3 years out here. And it's fascinating trying to understand what was different about this than the five other houses that we excavated. And then one of the things that we did last year that we find so significant that's different from this year and different from the previous years is we actually think that we have evidence of not only the first French occupation, but perhaps the late historic Indian occupation of the area as well.
And about when would that have been?
Slightly before the 1760s. I would say the mid-1700s, 1740s, 1750s, just before the permanent French occupation of the area.
So did Native Americans and French live in this area together at the same time, or was it a case where the French pushed out the Native people?
It's difficult to understand exactly what we're seeing. There isn't a lot of documentation of what's going on. We know that there is some evidence of Indian small groups, families, wintering here in the area while the French were living here. We don't know if that's what we're seeing or if there's a larger community living here prior to the French. Perhaps a little more historical analysis and an examination of the artifacts that we found will reveal this.
How has your understanding of St. Louis and its founding changed recently?
Well, going back to the historic Indian occupation, this is sort of an avenue of research that we had not anticipated. We thought that there was a historic Indian village near St. Louis, but it was well south of our excavation right here, and it was completely separate from the village of St. Louis. By finding Indian features, by finding an Indian encampment at the same location as we're finding French houses, kind of changes our understanding of how the very earliest settlement of St. Louis happened. And it might sort of tie into changes, recent changes in our understanding of the early French settlement, that French settlers were here actually before Leclerc and Chouteau arrived here. And there was actually permanent French houses here prior to 1764.
I could see that potentially changing the entire narrative on how the city was founded, actually.
It does change things. It changes the focus, and it pushes it a little bit earlier. It pushes it instead of a singular event in 1763, 1764, to more of a long, drawn-out, slowly shifting from Indian territory to slowly encampment with French trappers and traders, and then slowly merchants moving in. So it's a more long, drawn-out process than what is normally taught in schools.
But I suppose that's the way a lot of communities are founded as well.
Right. I think this is more of a realistic understanding of how St. Louis is founded, as opposed to the traditional view.
And so just to be clear, the distinction between what you've uncovered recently is that Native Americans lived, for the most part, either just right before or even during the time that the French were here.
Correct. That's what we believe. I mean, we knew that, and what's more significant is that we knew that they were living at the same time in the area, but probably maybe a quarter mile to the south of us, south of the limits of St. Louis. What we're thinking right now is, well, maybe not everybody was living south of St. Louis. Maybe there was some occupation, contemporary, historic Indian and French, in roughly the same area.
If we could, maybe we could go down into the actual site here. It's just a few steps down, and we'll take a look at some of what your team is working on and some artifacts.
That sounds good. What we're standing in right now is the inside of Pierre Berger's French house, and we're actually standing on his cellar. And what we're looking at is the excavation of a large, deep pit that was excavated by the later blacksmith, Jean-Baptiste Marly. And this pit is roughly 12 feet in diameter and about 3 feet deep. And it is just layer upon layer upon layer of ash and charcoal and metal scrap, along with a lot of household or domestic trash.
It's interesting to think about how what we might throw away today is something that archaeologists might be looking at a couple hundreds of years from now, but I suppose what we get rid of really tells us a lot about us and how we live.
Absolutely. I mean, what's fascinating about this is we're getting two different views into the life of, in this case, Jean-Baptiste Marly, our blacksmith. Not only are we seeing his activity, his profession, the smithy, but we're also seeing the household, because it's obvious that the blacksmith was nearby and he's throwing his debris outside his back door. but it also appears that somebody's coming in and occasionally throwing food remains and broken plates and pipe stems and bowls and broken items from the household into this big trash pit.
As we look at more of this site, I can see not too far from us at all, but there are two screens, and some archaeologists are sifting through them.
Yeah, we actually have two excavations going on at the same time, two different areas of our blacksmith shop. And so we have two groups of diggers and two groups of screeners going through all the dirt that's coming from our excavation. What we do is we're basically collecting every artifact, every solid thing that does not pass through the screen, and bagging it in order to wash and process and then analyze it later. This is just some of the items that we have. The artifacts that we're finding in here, and this is the blacksmith shop, which we're looking at right now, are different than any of the other types of artifacts that we found throughout our excavations out here. So what I'm showing right now are two examples of French pottery. This is actually what's called faience, or tin enameled refined earthenware. And this, the patterns that we're seeing on these sherds right here, which would have been from a plate, are patterns that we have not seen anywhere else, haven't seen before today, in fact.
Something I'm struck by is the still the vibrancy of these colors. I mean, this is pottery that's more than 200, 250 years old, and the blues are really blue, yellow's really yellow, red's really red. What kind of conditions have to take place for it to be preserved so well? Or is it just made so well that it's still going to be vibrant like that?
I think it has to do with how it's made. Honestly, we've... And I think part of it is to do with the soils, but really it's the quality of the ceramic itself. We find that the French ceramics, the French tin enameled, hold up very well. I would expect this to be falling apart, but it isn't. It is very solid. Like you say, the colors are very bright, vibrant. The glaze holds very well to the paste of the ceramic. I like to point out that I know that this is French, even if I didn't have the pattern. I know this is French because it holds well together. If this were British, it would be all falling apart and there would be no colors. There would be nothing left to it. The British ceramics of the same type fall completely apart.
And I also want to mention that right next to me is our photographer, Carolina Hidalgo, and we're going to have some photos of our trip out here on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Is there something else that that you wanted to show us?
Well, we do have Native American ceramics in here as well. And the question we have, and this is just a small little rim shirt, the question we have on this is, where is it coming from? It's possible that this is prehistoric. And that it's been, you know, dug up from somewhere, or it's been curated and handed down, or it's possible that this is actually historic Indian, and it's something like a trade item or something like that. So once again, you know, there's hints of Native American, if not occupation, but involvement on this site right here.
So unless there's anything else you wanted to show us here, we could go look at some of the cleaned up artifacts that you have.
Right. Well, let's do that. This is a type of artifact that we haven't found before. Typically, when we think of late 1700s, we're thinking of tobacco pipes that are made out of clay, typically white ball clay or kaolinite clay. What we found on this site, both in our blacksmith deposits as well as in our earlier house cellar deposits, have been these stone pipes that were typically made by Native Americans and also used very much by the French settlers in the 1700s. So we don't know right now whether these are actually French artifacts or if they're Native American artifacts.
And I should point out, as you're going through stuff, each of them are individually bagged. It has a series of numbers and letters, very, very much organized, telling you exactly where you found it.
Exactly. I tell people that the importance of artifacts aren't the artifacts itself. It's the knowledge, the information that they contain that tell us about people. And so without knowing exactly where these artifacts came from, you lose a lot of that information of their meaning. And, you know, like I said before, some of these artifacts belong to our blacksmith, and some of these artifacts belong to the prior occupants. And it's kind of important to be able to distinguish who owned what and who threw away what. This is my favorite piece. You don't get a picture of anything else out here. You need a picture of this. This is one of the first artifacts that we found in our blacksmith area when we got the idea that what we were dealing with is actually a late 1700s feature. Before then, we weren't really sure what we had. So what I'm holding in my hand is another small limestone pipe bowl, tobacco pipe bowl. And it's actually what we would call an effigy pipe bowl, because it has a carving on it that's supposed to represent an animal. And I profess to believe that it's actually a bird, perhaps an owl, with eyes carved in the front, and then on the backside, tail feathers. And it's this very small, very intricately carved little pipe bowl. And this artifact is, in fact, going to be on long-term loan to the National Park Service for display in their new museum.
That's MoDOT senior historic archaeologist Michael Meyer talking with producer Alex Hoyer. They spoke recently at a dig site just south of the Gateway Arch grounds. The archaeologist's findings suggest there may have been French or American Indian occupation prior to when the city was established in 1764. Visit stlpublicradio.org to see photos of the site and of some of the artifacts. Our story there also has the perspectives of other historians on what the archaeological findings might mean.